Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. I'm looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy Thursday, ladies and gents, boys and girls. Thank you so much for allowing current sports to be a part of your afternoon. It is March 7th, 2019. A lot to get to. A busy week it has been here on Current Sports and continues to be. As we will talk about the Michigan State men's basketball matchup against Michigan on Saturday, one of the biggest games that we have seen inside of the walls of the Breslin Center, coming your way Saturday night. Two in-state rivals competing for at least a share of the Big Ten championship. Head coach Tom Izzo and a few select players were made available to the media after practice yesterday. You'll get a chance to hear from Cassius Winston as well as Kenny Goins discussing the upcoming matchup, and Kenny Goins will talk about how surreal it is for him to be a senior and knowing that Saturday night will be his last game in the Breslin Center wearing a green and white jersey. You don't want to miss that. I will also talk a little bit of NBA on today's current sports, which I love because I am a big NBA fan. And fitting conversation because the Detroit Pistons continue this incredible hot streak that they are on, putting them in prime position to make the postseason. The Pistons taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves last night at Little Caesars Arena. I will have a recap of that game. And, oh yeah, by the way, LeBron James passed who many consider to be the greatest basketball player to ever rock sneakers, the great Michael Jordan, the GOAT. I believe he's the GOAT. LeBron James passed Mike on the NBA's all-time scoring list last night. And I will explain why that moment was a bit, how can I put it? Awkward. Very, very awkward. All right? Then later on this hour, I will bring to you a piece from NPR centered on attendance in sports stadiums. As NPR, they have talked with Mike Pesca, who is the host of the Slate podcast, The Gist. And he is also the author of the book, Upon Further Review. We actually had Pesca on the show this past summer to talk about Upon Further Review, which is a really cool piece of work centered on the greatest what-ifs in sports history. You know, what if Charles Barkley had won an NBA Finals, right? So he kind of combs through these different things in this fascinating piece of work. Well, Mike has some commentary centered on why so many fans out there just aren't attending sports games anymore and deciding to stay home, you know, with your favorite beverage on the couch, watching whatever game on your HD, you know, flat screen television. You got the bathroom just feet away. So why go out and attend a sports game, right? That's one of the reasons. But Mike will give an interesting take on it. You don't want to miss that. And then on the back end of the show, no, I didn't forget what today is. Because yesterday we had an impromptu throwback moment
As I thought it was Thursday, so we had a throwback Wednesday edition of Current Sports yesterday. And we're going to continue that today because that's what we customarily do each and every Thursday. We'll take a look at a few moments that occurred on this date in sports history, okay? So a loaded hour. If you would like to be a part of the show, multiple ways in which you can join the fun. I would love to hear from you. Pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also weigh in courtesy of social media at facebook.com/WKAR News. A few of you weighing in right now. Why not? Why not read a few comments here? Ben says, how about those Pistons last night? Down 14 to 16 points in the first quarter, and they come back and win by 18 points over the Minnesota Timberwolves. Yes, Ben, I will be weighing in on that. The Pistons looking really, really good. Also, Mike weighs in right now at the top of the hour and says, congrats to WKAR Radio for winning the Public Radio Group 1 Station of the Year Award. Thank you so much, Mike. Yes, if you did not hear, WKAR was named not just Public Radio Group 1 Station of the Year for 2018 by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters at the Broadcast Excellence Award Ceremony last night, but also Michigan Public Television Station of the Year as well. How about that, folks? Unbelievable stuff. I am so blessed and honored to work with such talented individuals here at WKAR, which will be 6 years for me in April. Crazy stuff. Next month, 6 years I've been here at WKAR, which is hard to believe. But I work with so many talented individuals, and I want to just give it just to tip my cap to everybody, the entire team here at WKAR Radio, as well as WKAR TV, and also literally about 30 feet from Studio S right now, down the hall, we are bidding adieu to radio station manager Peter Worf. He will be leaving us and taking his talents to Detroit. Peter has been here for 6 years as well, and we are having like a little celebration right now, saying goodbye to Peter. Peter, just an awesome colleague of mine. We all always bonded over our love for sports. Peter, in particular, his love of baseball. So we are losing certainly a giant here at WKAR. So we wish Peter well. But thank you, Mike, for that. Congrats. Let's keep it pushing now. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. And we start with the Michigan State women's basketball team tipping off its Big Ten tournament right now in Indianapolis around noon, to be exact, is when this game began at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. And right now, Michigan State taking on 9-seed Northwestern. And to give you a quick score update, as I'm looking right now, if my browser refreshes, Michigan State is up 2 over Northwestern. This is a very close game. It's on the Big Ten Network right now with 4 minutes and 25 seconds left to play in the third quarter. So it's the second half right now. Michigan State up by 2 over Northwestern in the Big Ten Women's Basketball Tournament. Again, taking place at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, Indiana. The winner of this game will play Maryland tomorrow. And we all know how good Maryland is. Always atop the Big Ten, you know, for a while now. I mean, that's what Maryland does. So we'll keep you updated on that matchup as it proceeds throughout this hour, okay? Also, Tom Izzo gave an update concerning Nick Ward, and there is a million-to-one chance.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
I am. Yeah.
Yeah!
That's perfect. Shout out to Brad Walker, engineer of this week's Current Sports. The great Jim Carrey there, of course. But yeah, Tom Izzo had media availability after practice yesterday and said that junior forward Nick Ward has a million-to-one chance of playing against the Michigan Wolverines come Saturday night. So, yes, there is a chance, but it's just not a great one. A million-to-one. So, Ward has been out for MSU the last four games after fracturing his hand against Ohio State in the middle of last month, but there is potential for Ward to return either during the conference tournament next weekend or the Big Dance the week after. But yes, yes, there is a crazy, crazy chance that we may see him. All right. I want to give you guys an update on what happened yesterday in the world of local area high school girls basketball district semifinals action. In Division I at East Lansing, we saw Holt defeat Lansing Everett 40-24. East Lansing over Jackson, 78-55, the final there. At St. John's, we saw St. John's beat Lansing Waverly 61-29. DeWitt over Grand Ledge, 49-38 in Division II. At Lakewood, Lansing Eastern beating Ionia, 49-41. Lansing Catholic over Lakewood, 41-25. At Olivet, Charlotte over Eden Rapids, 47-32. Jackson Northwest beating Parma Western, 49-41. At Perry, Williamston beat Duran, 53-16. Hazlitt beating Lake Fenton, 65-46. At Corunna, Ovid Elsie over Mount Morris, 68-27. Corunna beating Chesning, 48-38. At Shepherd, Alma over Belding, 57-30. The final there. Santon Central Montcalm over Shepherd, 55-16. And in Division III, at Pawamo Westphalia, Carson City Crystal beating Saranac 36-16. And Pawamo Westphalia handling business over Grand Rapids North Point Christian 55-29. At Bath, Leslie over Dansville 50-36. Laingsburg over Stockbridge 42-18. And then finally in Division IV action at Weberville, we saw Lansing Christian beats Jackson Christian 48-21. Portland St. Pat's over Weberville, 57-26, the final there. And at Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart, Fowler beating Vesterberg, 61-15. And Fulton over Mount Pleasant Sacred Heart by three. Close game here, 46-43, the final there. All right, the Detroit Pistons took another big step towards the NBA playoffs last night, a 131-114 dub over the Minnesota Timberwolves at LCA. After facing a double-digit deficit after the first quarter, Andre Drummond and Luke Kennard led the way for Detroit. Drummond picked up another double-double, 31 points, 15 boards. Kennard, who has been so hot as of late, 21 points in 29 minutes. Crazy stuff. Next up, the Pistons will hit the road to take on the Chicago Bulls tomorrow night. And speaking of the NBA, LeBron James last night, one thing happened last night out on the West Coast that, you know, you may have seen or may not have, depending on if you are a night owl. LeBron James passed his heirness, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, for fourth place on the all-time scoring list. He was behind MJ by just 12 points heading into last night, and he told reporters last night the passing MJ, quote, ranked right up there with winning a championship, end quote. The Lakers lost, though, 115-99 to the Denver Nuggets. More on that historical moment in just a moment. The Detroit Red Wings head back home tonight for a matchup with the New York Rangers. Both teams are well out of their respective playoff races. The Wings do have a possible chance here of finishing with the worst record in the National Hockey League. But it may be a chance for Wings fans to see rookie Philip Zadina play his first home game with Detroit. Puck drop tonight, scheduled for 7:30 p.m. And I did see that Dylan Larkin is not going to play tonight. All right, so there's an update there. The Detroit Tigers dropped a second straight spring training game yesterday to the Atlanta Braves. 8-2 the final there. Starter Tyson Ross gave up 4 earned runs in 3 innings. Meanwhile, outfielder Jacoby Jones picked up a pair of hits for Detroit. They'll stay in Lakeland today to play the Philadelphia Phillies. That game just getting underway, and I do have a score update for you guys. Right now, Detroit is down by 1 run to Philly in the bottom of the first inning, 1-0. All right, we'll also keep you updated on that game throughout this hour as well. And as mentioned on yesterday's Current Sports, the Antonio Brown situation looks like it could end as soon as tomorrow, with a trade looking close to being completed. It is widely guessed that Brad Walker's Oakland Raiders are the favorite to land Brown. But a CBS Sports article from a couple of hours ago reports that there is a bit of hesitancy on Oakland's end. The Las Vegas Review-Journal's Michael Gelkin, he writes, quote, "The Raiders have discussed him at length internally and are widely referenced among his most interested suitors. But they also aren't sprinting to the dance floor." So the music's playing, but they're like, should I get out there and get jiggy with it? I don't know. So what does this mean for Brown? Who knows? Brad, you actually came in Studio West just literally seconds before we hit the air, and you noted an interesting quote from Antonio Brown, basically, and we suspected this. This is how Antonio Brown rolls. It's the world we live in the NFL when it comes to prima donna wide receivers. But basically, Brown wants to do things his way, right?
Yeah, that's what he wants to do. He says, "I do things my way." And I thought, well, okay.
But what do you expect? You're not surprised by that quote, right?
I'm not quite surprised. No, he is a wide receiver. He's one of the best in the biz. So you got to have a little bit of an edge.
Right.
I can see that. Boy, I think he would help us, though. Oh, boy.
So you are sprinting to the dance floor. You are getting jiggy with this move.
I'm getting jiggy with it out on that dance floor.
Love it. All right.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see what happens. We'll of course, provide an update. Hopefully, we have some news by the time Current Sports begins on Friday. All right? But that does it for your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. Call in if you would like to be a part of the hour. Would love to hear from you guys. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. I see you, Ben. I see you, Mike. Deb, all of you guys weighing in right now, thank you so much. You can also tweet the show at WKAR News, or you can tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR.
James. LeBron takes it to the rim and finishes with it. He's fouled. The legend of LeBron continues. He moves past his idol, MJ, for fourth on the all-time scoring list.
We see the delivery from Rondo. LeBron making history and appreciating it. And I like the fans. Okay, things not going our way, but still, take a moment.
Yes, a little earth, wind, and fire for you on this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your weekday afternoon. I am your host, Al Martin. And what you just heard was the moment live on ESPN last night as the Los Angeles Lakers took on the Denver Nuggets at the Staples Center. That was the moment LeBron James passed the GOAT, his airness, the Black Panther. A lot of people forget, that's Michael Jordan's, that's one also Michael Jordan's nickname. They called him the Black Panther when he was playing back in the day for his cat-like reflexes on defense. Michael Jordan is the GOAT, in my opinion. Everything about MJ's career, he was a winner, he was a fierce competitor. And last night we saw LeBron James pass Jordan on the NBA's all-time scoring list at number four. Now, first off, to comment on that accomplishment, bravo LeBron. There are not too many human beings living on this world that have played the game professionally. four, who have more points than MJ in the NBA's all-time scoring list. It is quite remarkable. And LeBron James, who was actually born 2 months into MJ's rookie season back in 1984-85, passing MJ on that list with 5:38 remaining in the second quarter. So relatively quick last night against the Nuggets. Driving left, finished off the glass, gave the and-one signal, and then you saw the fans all stand in applause and took in the moment. You saw LeBron's teammates for the purple and gold embrace the king. And it was a special moment. You know, he was very emotional as he sat on the bench. You know, he teared up a few times and had his head in the towel, just kind of taking it all in, because LeBron James, like so many basketball stars of today, he grew up idolizing MJ. MJ is the standard when you talk about professional basketball. And that's the reason why LeBron James wears the number 23. Now, LeBron went on a comment, you know, that's why I wanted to wear the number that, you know, I would watch MJ when I was little. I wanted to stick out my tongue on dunks like MJ. You know, the whole powder ceremony that he does, you know, MJ used to do something similar, not as elaborate when he was playing. So, you know, LeBron is a player who grew up looking at MJ and saying, that's what I want to be like. And to furthermore harp on that point, I mean, heck, LeBron James is starring in Space Jam 2, which is one of my big movies of my childhood growing up in the 90s. So LeBron, furthermore, walking in the footsteps in the world of Hollywood of Michael Jordan. But it was a bit awkward. Not going to lie to you, folks. That was an awkward moment because, sure, great accomplishment. You pass your idol on the all-time scoring list, but you lose yet another game against the Denver Nuggets, further putting any chances of you making the playoffs. The Lakers aren't making the playoffs now, but just further digging yourself in the hole as the Lakers now sit tied for 11th in the NBA's Western Conference following that loss. Awkward. Because
And my opinion has changed on this. You know, I got this question from one of my homies about a few weeks ago. Marcel, we both grew up on the west side of Detroit, and we always have these interesting basketball debates. And, you know, he asked me, you know, Al, do you think LeBron James is still the best basketball player on planet Earth right now? And at the time I said, you know, I don't know. I want to reserve my thoughts on that based on what we see from LeBron the rest of the season. At the time, the Lakers still had some kind of chance to possibly make a run and get into the NBA playoffs. So I said, you know what, talk to me in a few weeks. A little bit too early to say that right now. Because coming into the season, I said LeBron James, without a doubt, is the best basketball player on the planet. But looking at what's happened this season, and some of it has to do with the injury, right? He got injured on Christmas Day against the Golden State Warriors. And looking at how he's returned from that and his lack of defense and not really efficient consistently scoring-wise, he's still struggling at the free-throw line. This is a much different LeBron James than we're used to seeing. And right now, you know, I'm pretty firm on this now. I don't think that LeBron James is the best basketball player in the world right now. I just don't. You know, I think that there's a strong case that you can make for players like Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks, Kevin Durant of the Golden State Warriors. Heck, why not throw in Paul George in that argument as well? You know, again, this is one outstanding year for Paul, but he's had a really good career. Right now, if you're talking about right now, today, who's playing the best basketball and who is considered the best basketball player on planet Earth right now on March 7th of 2019, I don't think LeBron James is that guy right now. And it's so awkward because when you accomplish something like this, where you pass Michael Jeffrey Jordan on the all-time scoring list, you want it to be in a game that means something. You want to have your team in a position where you are making the postseason. To see LeBron play on a team this bad, and the reality starts to set in that when the playoffs begin and when the summer hits, spring and summer hits, and you know that LeBron James won't be out there competing, how weird is that going to be? You know, he's going to end the season with 1-2-3 Cancun, baby, instead of 1-2-3 playoffs. That's crazy. I can't believe that. My oh my, have times changed, and I do believe this is going to hurt LeBron's legacy a bit, right? Because when you talk about greatness, greatness, without a doubt, LeBron James is greatness. But greatness rarely misses the playoffs. You got to make the postseason. And there's so much wrong, even going beyond LeBron James when discussing the Lakers franchise. Heck, how about Rajon Rondo last night, right? And this is why I have mixed feelings about Rondo. I think he's uber competitive, and I've always loved that. But the dude is a crybaby. Rajon Rondo decided to sit closer to the rapper 2 Chainz than head coach Luke Walton last night when he exited the game for rest. I kid you not, I don't know if you guys saw this, but Rajon Rondo, guard for the Lakers, he was not next to his teammates. He decided to sit basically in the stands, front row, but, you know, again, basically in the stands next to fans, instead of sitting with his teammates. How petty is that, right? That just kind of puts in perspective just how bad things are for the Lakers. So, bottom line, congratulations, LeBron James, but gosh, that's not how you wanted to write that moment. All right, I want to transition now and talk about, just want to touch on the Michigan State men's basketball team as the Spartans and the Wolverines gear up for one of the most anticipated games we have ever seen inside of the Breslin Center. Brad, do you think you could argue that this is maybe the biggest game that we've ever seen in Breslin Center history?
I remember Michigan State playing Purdue with Dwayne Stevens on the floor. Mm. I remember how big that game was for the Big Ten title.
For the Big Ten title. Yeah, but
this is big.
Would you say this is bigger? Because you're probably playing your in-state rival for the Big Ten championship.
Absolutely.
And also, I do want to thank you for bringing up Dwayne Stevens. That was kind of impromptu because I just saw this. This broke a little after 12 noon today. Michigan State Men's Basketball Associate Head Coach Dwayne Stevens will be one of 12 coaches to be inducted into the inaugural class of a Step Up Assistant Coaches Hall of Fame. Amazing. So nice. he's going into the Assistant Coaches Hall of Fame.
Good.
So congratulations to Dwayne Stevens. But yeah, I think this is bigger than that. I think that when you look at how much is on the line, you know, you're competing for at least a share of the Big Ten regular season championship. And then you pile on the fact that you are playing your in-state rival, two schools, two fan bases that absolutely hate one another, that despise one another, that talk trash about one another on the regular. And this is huge. I mean, I just can't think of, and I even went back and tried to look up, has this ever happened before at the Breslin? No, it hasn't happened at the Breslin. I remember, like I said, I believe it was 2013 I looked up. Michigan and Michigan State played in Indianapolis for the Big Ten championship. But never have we seen these two rivals meet up final game of the season with the Big Ten title on the line and both teams being this good. You know, I mean, I don't think you can equate it to anything. So this is huge, and I won't let my prediction out the bag right now. I'll do that on Friday's Current Sports. But what I want to do right now is throw to a few sound bites, because shout out to our very own Kyle Turk, Current Sports intern, who was able to get some great audio for us centered on the upcoming matchup between Michigan State and Michigan from MSU basketball practice yesterday. I want to play two bites. The first coming from junior point guard Cassius Winston, who many like myself believe will be the Big Ten Player of the Year. And he's up for so many awards. I saw that he's also a finalist for the Bob Cousy Point Guard of the Year Award. His name has been thrown around for National Player of the Year as well. Cassius Winston is that guy. He is the straw that stirs the drink for the Spartans. Here's a bit of what Cassius had to say at practice yesterday at the Breslin Center.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good team. That's a good coach. That's a good team. You know, it's not going to be the same game as last time. There's going to be adjustments on both ends. We both got to change some things. But like I said, both teams are going to be prepared. And it's about who's going to play the harder, who wants it more.
Like I was in here a couple hours today, just icing, compression, stem, all type of stuff. I feel much better right now. So it's nothing, not a big deal. By Saturday, I should be a full go. I don't think you can't bypass all that. You know, all of that is a factor. You just got to do your best to use it as a positive. You know, don't let it drag, take away from your game. Just let it elevate you, make it play hard. If you're going to make a mistake, just make a mistake playing as hard as you can. And we're going to cover up for each other. We're going to have our teammates back as we've been doing all year. I don't know. So we had a feeling, you know what I'm saying? We had a feeling that if we took care of our business versus Nebraska, we're going to have an opportunity. You know what I'm saying? That's all we want is opportunity. We dropped the ball a couple times, but we caught so many bad breaks this year that we felt like eventually we was going to get our bad break or our good break. So they gave us opportunity, and now it's right in front of us. We got to do what we can to take it.
We got everything in front of us. We're supposed to win this.
I think these last five games we've been playing with pressure. You know, we knew we didn't have a lot of room for error. And we've been stepping up to the plate. You know, I think we dropped the ball in Indiana, but even there, we played a really good game, just had a couple little mistakes. But I think every game has been pressure for us. You know, we've been facing adversity all year, facing, you know, people don't count us out, I don't know how many times this year. So every game has been like that for us. Now this one, like I said, we just look at this opportunity. You know, it's a great opportunity. Gets to play in front of the whole world for a championship. That's just a great opportunity. We're going to do what we can to take advantage of it.
And kind of carry you guys last night.
It was amazing. Like I said, you guys don't see how much work those two put in. You don't see how much they do for this team, keeping us together. You know, it can get crazy around here, and they keep us solid. And for this to be their last time at the Breslin, it's just hard to even believe that, you know, they're not going to be a Spartans no more. Hopefully no time soon, but, you know, eventually it's going to run out. So just for it to be their last week is just crazy. You know, I don't think we still even wrapped. I don't think they wrapped their hands around either yet.
Cash, how hard is it to beat a team work-wise?
Oh, it's definitely hard. You know, that's a really talented team. You know, playing really good basketball, and they're going to be a lot more prepared this time. But like I said, we kind of stole one at their crib, you know, so that's definitely huge. Now you got to take care of home court, and, you know, it's going to be rocking. We got a lot of energy, you know, things like that. So we got to do what we can, like, just stick together and make it happen, you know. Playing 32 minutes a game, you know, I can do that. You know, just having a little time to breathe, get your feet under you a little bit, and then get back out there. He's been doing a good job of just holding it down, you know, keeping everything floating steady.
Have you seen significant growth from him, I guess, from a month ago?
Oh, yeah, a lot. You know, it was a point where if I go in, everything go downhill. You know, now, you know, if he doesn't even make something better happen, you know, he just keeps it steady, and that's all you can really ask for him right now.
All right, again, junior point guard for Michigan State men's basketball, Cassius Winston, during practice yesterday at the Breslin Center. The one big takeaway there, you know, you talked about, you know, how big this game is and how hard it is to beat a team like Michigan twice in one season. But the big thing is his health, right? Cassius Winston did battle a bit of knee tendonitis against Nebraska on Tuesday night. So when it comes to Cassius's health, he said, hey, I'm going to be ready. I am going to be fine. I'm locked in. I'm living here at the Breslin Center recovering. I'm good. So that's the big thing I wanted to push along to you guys, all right? And also a big storyline coming into this game, and this is what is going to form my opinion about who wins on Saturday. Will Charles Matthews play? Is Charles Matthews going to be healthy enough for the Wolverines to get out there and play? Because Matthews sprained his right ankle against Michigan State last month, February 24th. And there is some hesitancy from Michigan coach John Beilein as to whether or not Matthews will play. He's not explicitly ruling out Matthews for Saturday, but he's not coming out and saying, you know, Matthews is going to play. When asked, Beilein said, quote, when asked if Matthews had been ruled out for Michigan State, Beilein said, quote, absolutely not. He just couldn't play today. That's a week away. Why would we do that? That is when Beilein commented after the Maryland game. So right now, before we get to what Kenny Goins had to say, let's go to our phone lines right now. We do have Ray from Indiana that wants to weigh in. Ray, what's up, man?
Why would you talk to a liar and a weasel?
What do you mean, Ray? Please clarify. What are you talking about?
John Beilein.
What about John Beilein?
A liar and a weasel. Hey, I'm gonna give it to you straight. You gotta go in there and take no prisoners. Just like you did the last game, you gotta take no prisoners because they're gonna come in. They're ticked that you beat them, and they can steal a Big Ten title from you. You gotta be ready to play. The bullies are coming to town, huh? The bullies are coming to town, huh? The bullies are coming to town, huh? Take it to the bullies.
Ray from Indiana, the one,
they're
the only.
Spartans.
The one, the only. All right. You know, at first, you know, Brad, when that rant started, I didn't know what Ray was talking about, but he's talking about John Beilein. Ray hates John Beilein, and he strongly dislikes me. I shouldn't say hate. I just hate using the word hate. But Ray may hate. I don't know. I have no idea. It sounds like Ray does hate John Beilein and Jim Harbaugh, but yeah. All right. From that, now I want to go to Kenny Goins, who is the senior forward for Michigan State men's basketball. He is who I dub as the best walk-on in the world of college hoops. Kenny Goins commenting on what it's going to be like on Saturday, knowing that it's going to be his final game, final home game, inside of the Breslin Center and so much more. Here's what a bit of what Kenny Goins had to say yesterday.
What would it mean to get Kyle back maybe for a little bit, or maybe even get Nick back?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, we're worried about them in the long run. You know, basketball is important, but they got a whole life to live, and you never want to mess up the injuries when it comes to long term stuff. But if they're able to play and can get back, you know, both of them are very valuable players to us with experience, and looks like Nick's trying to get in shape now, but. Both of them just bring a lot to the table and experience and skills. So if we can't get them back, it just adds some more to our firepower, really.
tried to think about what that moment would be like when you kiss the logo?
Yeah, not yet. Trying to keep it all the emotions and stuff under wraps right now, and I got a game to finish before that happens.
Does that, I mean, this game, the moment of having to play for a championship and everything, how much does that supersede senior day right now for you guys?
Yeah, you know, we always say send your seniors out right, so we want to get a win for that reason, but more foremost, you know, we want to win the championship, and the fact that it's Michigan, you know, no one ever really wants to lose to Michigan, so we got three things that really kind of put this game into the I guess, utmost of importance.
I know you want to keep your emotions in check a little bit, but how surreal is it to think that this is your last home game?
Yeah, it really hasn't hit me yet. I don't know if it will hit me even on the day. I've just been trying to take things day at a time and really just appreciate everything that I've been through.
All right, Kenny Goins, Michigan State senior forward, commenting on the matchup on Saturday against Michigan, commenting on what his emotions will be like on Saturday, knowing that it will be his final home game wearing the Spartans jersey. And Kenny is going to have to play big. Kenny is, he has become and has been forced to become a key part of the Michigan State offense. He's got to score now. I mean, heck, we saw him score 21 points in the first half against Nebraska on Tuesday. His shooting has been so good this season. Didn't know that Kenny could shoot the basketball like that until we've really seen him blossom this season. But he is one of the keys for Michigan State's success on Saturday and as the postseason ensues after whatever happens on Saturday night, okay? Also want to note that Michigan State Athletics is encouraging everybody who attends Saturday night's game to wear white. It will be a whiteout at the Breslin Center. So don't be that guy who shows up with your forest green Spartan shirt on, okay? That wouldn't be cool. Not cool. Don't be that guy. Wear white if you're going to the game Saturday. Okay, we have a final in the Michigan State women's basketball matchup in the Big Ten tournament against Northwestern. It looks as though your Michigan State women's basketball team has pulled out the dub over the Northwestern Wildcats, 68-52. The final, Shay Colley with 14 points and 7 rebounds to lead the Spartans. So, Michigan State moves on now. Susie Merchant's troops move on to play the Maryland Terrapins tomorrow at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in the Big Ten tournament. Maryland, of course, finishing as the Big Ten regular season champions, a conference record of 15-3, an overall record of 26-3. So, we'll see if David can defeat Goliath tomorrow. All right, but Michigan State right now, celebrate that victory. Michigan State women's basketball with the win. We'll be right back. Don't touch that dial. Right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Some news I want to push along to the Detroit Red Wings fans out there. Mike Green out for the rest of the season for the Wings because of a virus. The 33-year-old defenseman also missed the first 9 games of the year with the same illness. Doctors are just suggesting rest. All right. And as I mentioned in our headliners, Dylan Larkin will not play tonight against the New York Rangers at Little Caesars Arena because of a back injury. He will be evaluated by a specialist with an update expected tomorrow. Going into the break, I mentioned how the Michigan State women's basketball team got the win over Northwestern. That one went final. And now the Spartan women's hoop team will play top-ranked Maryland tomorrow at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in the Big Ten tournament. All right. I want to play an interesting commentary piece coming from Mike Pesca, who we've had here on Current Sports. A fantastic time chatting with Mike this past summer about his book, Upon Further Review, The Greatest What Ifs in Sports History. Awesome book, really creative book as well. He's also the host of the Slate podcast, The Gist. Mike is very talented, and I wanted to bring this piece to you all because it's a topic that we did discuss. Do we not have that piece? Oh, Brad is saying that we don't have that piece. I don't think I did. I not upload it. Look at that. I'm getting right into my I'm getting right into my whole spiel, my whole introduction. Well, I tell you what, I'm gonna try to upload it on the fly right now because it's a really interesting piece centered on attendance in sports arenas. Now, this is a topic that we did cover. And I elaborated on this when I heard about the crazy contract that Bryce Harper got for the Philadelphia Phillies, the 13-year, $330 million contract. And I do now have that uploaded, Brad, in the Radio Bites folder. So if you can refresh that and see if we can get that on cue. That's my bad, man. But I elaborated on that, you know, on that conversation due to the Bryce Harper contract, because it just blows my mind how when you turn on a respective Major League Baseball game today and you just look in the stands, it's basically empty in most of these games. I mean, there's a few fans here and there, and I've always argued that baseball needs to cut down the amount of games that it plays in the regular season. 160-plus games is just ridiculous to me. I don't understand that. And, you know, it's just too much, especially for the young baseball fan today, or the young sports fan, I should say, because it's rare to find a young baseball fan today just because the game of baseball is too long. The season is way too long because attention spans are so short. You just can't expect a kid to just sit on the couch and watch baseball for 3+ hours. It's ridiculous. But I just don't know how these big contracts can come across the world of baseball when ticket sales are dismal at best. But when doing some more digging, you can find that the money that these contracts are being born from comes from the TV deals that have been made with Major League Baseball. Crazy TV deals that have led to a trickle-down effect to the pockets of baseball players. So it totally makes sense. And also, baseball doesn't have a salary cap. And so I look at some of these contracts and say, man, I should have definitely got on the diamond. I should have definitely played the game of baseball just because it's just, you know, they're the highest paid athletes in the game right now. So, you know, and I think overall, I mean, not just harping on baseball here. I think that if you look at the majority of sports arenas, and I'm talking about it, you know, from the collegiate level on up, you are seeing fans who are basically saying, I'm done spending tickets going to a game, you know, my hard-earned money going out to a game when I can save that money, sit at home in the comfort of my house, my apartment. I can get whatever snacks I want at the crib, sit on the couch and watch it in HD. I get, you know, commentary. I see the game from so many different camera angles. The bathroom is just feet away. Why would I spend money to go out to a game? So I totally understand that. So I'm being told that we do have this piece now. My bad, Brad. I'm making your job a little hard today. But here is Mike Pesca tackling sports stadium shrinkage being a trend. And who's to blame for the attendance drop?
"Take Me Out to the Ball Game" was written 101 years ago, and most of the sentiment still stands. We can still buy peanuts and Cracker Jack. It's still 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out. The only update might be the line, "Take me out with the crowd." 67 million fans attended a regular season baseball game last year, but those numbers were down from the year before. And some of that is actually by design, as in the design of ballparks. The seating capacity of stadia across American sports, not just baseball, is shrinking. The Tampa Bay Rays will be playing for about 26,000 fans maximum. That's 5,000 fewer seats than they have now. The Las Vegas Raiders will soon debut in a stadium that will be among the three most compact in the game. All 16 major league teams that have moved in the past 20 years are playing in tighter confines than they once did. The reason for this shrinkage, the leagues will tell you, is that televised sport has beaten the live experience. As the TVs got better, the traffic got worse, I guess, and the couch beckoned. I just got back from Disney World. Disney movies are clearly cheaper and easier to get to than the live experience, and yet millions more people flock to the Magic Kingdom than did 10 years ago. There is an Avatar ride that had a wait time of, let me check the app, it's all in an app now, 3 hours, 5 minutes. But with baseball and football, there is so little attention paid to the experience in the park. How about good Wi-Fi or some milling about zones and food that challenges our collective delusion that Dodger dogs aren't inferior cylindrical foodstuffs? We have been gaslit about Fenway, Franks. Then there's the gouging. The New York Jets will charge you $40 to $50 for parking. And when you enter the stadium, you have to watch the New York Jets. Owners can continue to shrink their stadiums and their ambitions, or they can start rewarding fans who literally give their teams the home field advantage as something other than chickens to be plucked or geese to be fattened before slaughter. Don't the fans have enough experience with slaughter, especially when we're talking about fans of the Jets, Rays, and Raiders?
Ah, some very good points by the great Mike Pesca. A really quick postscript on that piece. Brad, I just want to throw this out to you because you are, again, an Oakland Raiders fan, and you all are hoping to move into your new digs very, very soon, right? And Mike brought up, you know, the point that, you know, seating capacity at stadiums are starting to change because I think that these sports arenas – and those who own these sports arenas are basically saying that, okay, it's such an eyesore to pan the camera up in the stands and to see so many empty seats. Why not just take the seats out? You know, for the Tampa Bay Rays, as Mike brought up, they will be playing for about 26,000 fans maximum. That's 5,000 fewer seats than they have now. The Las Vegas Raiders, right, will soon debut in a stadium that will be among the three most compact in the game. All 16 major league teams that have moved in the past 20 years are playing in tighter confines than they once did. So we're starting to see more seats taken out of sports arenas because, as Mike put so eloquently, the at-home experience is beating that of the in-game experience, going to the game, that experience. For you, being a sports fan, Brad, do you enjoy going to games more than sitting at home and watching them at you know, on your couch?
You know, when I go to the Breslin Center, I can only afford, like, the upper deck, okay?
Right.
And I'd rather watch it on TV.
I'm with you.
At that moment in time. If I sat courtside, oh, it'd be great, but I don't have that kind of cash.
Exactly.
But I'll tell you this, when you're talking about Las Vegas, the Raiders are going to sell out probably every game. Case in point, last April, took my wife to Vegas for her birthday, and they were talking about how well Las Vegas hockey has been out there. You know, first year, inaugural season.
Right.
It's a madhouse there. Yes, it was during the playoffs, but everybody wondered, how is hockey going to do in Las Vegas?
It's been a hit.
Oh, my goodness. They are. It's everywhere.
Right.
Every bar has Las Vegas night signs all over the place, the Golden Knight signs everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's done very well. And that's hockey.
Right.
The Raiders, I think, are going to sell out probably every game.
So it depends on the fan base.
Sure.
Because not every fan base is like that of Las Vegas. And I was skeptical about how hockey was going to do out there as well. And it helped that the Vegas Golden Knights were so good as mm-hmm. well. I mean, my goodness. But across the board, it's a big problem. And I think the point, before we hit this brief final break, the big thing for me is the ticket prices, Brad. Just sure. like you said, mm-hmm. you can't afford to sit down in that lower bowl section of the Breslin because the tickets are just ridiculously expensive. And, oh, by the way, let's not talk about the parking, right? That adds on to the cost and the experience of trying to go to a game. So what many fans are saying is, look, I'll just watch it at home. All right, let's hit our final break. We come back, we'll put a bow on this Thursday edition of Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. 1 minute left. And real quick, to piggyback off the conversation we just had going into the final break, I'm looking here at ticket prices for this weekend's Michigan State and Michigan game. $168 for the upper bench corner. $171 row 12 in the upper bench. I mean, yeah, that's kind of crazy. Kind of crazy, folks. All right. I promise you folks, we'll get to the Detroit Pistons on tomorrow's Current Sports. I also want to give a big shout out, as I told him I would, to my apartment maintenance man, Jeff, who's a big Detroit Pistons fan. I told him I would give him a shout out because I came home and my furnace was out and he came through, hooked it up, and we talked Pistons for like 30 minutes before we both, you know, chilled for the night and watched the Minnesota Timberwolves and Pistons game. Thank you so much, Jeff. We'll get to that tomorrow's show. We'll also give a full preview of Michigan State and Michigan. Until then, have a great Thursday and be easy, people.